We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
Edition of Bogey Free. I'm your host, Matt Jones. You can find me on Twitter, Matt Jones TFR. And I am joined, as always, by my the Vanna White to my Pat Sajak, Evan Chaney. You can find him on Twitter at eChaney69. What's up, Ev? How we doing?
Oh, I'm doing fantastic. I've won these first two drafts, and it's just been outright domination so far. So I'm looking to continue the streak.
Yeah, I mean, I can't even go into it, honestly. The tilt that I'm on because of all of this is really a lot. But I am I'm happy. I'm off tilt because our good friend Nagel is here. You can find him on Twitter, of course, at Nagel Bagels. You can catch his world famous, I would say, Periscope on Wednesday evenings. Nagel, thanks for carving out the time and joining us tonight, man. How's it going?
Oh man, thanks for having me. It's I've been listening to you for many years, and it's great to be on the show. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, of course, man. I always hop into your Periscope to see what you're talking about. In retrospect, I probably should have waited for a Xander week to have you on, but I guess a ROM withdrawal will make you just as happy anyway, right?
Dude, I can't tell you how much more peace of mind I have knowing that I don't deal with that for like at least one more week. But I'm not. I already made a decision. I'm not betting Xander or rostering Xander until he, you know, wins a tournament, because it's been 2 years and I got to get my stink off him for a little bit.
Yeah.
So when he wins again, I won't win. But then I can go back into it again. That's the plan.
Yeah,
and I'm gonna bet Rom every tournament. So we'll see how the year goes.
that seems that's reasonable. before we jump into our draft, I just want to quickly make a note. This tournament is typically a 3-course rotation. This year, it is down to 2, and it's going to be a 36-hole cut instead of a 54-hole cut. Just for those of you who are familiar with this event and are looking for that 54-hole cut, you're not going to get it. So they are playing at the Stadium Course and the Nicklaus Course, and you'll hear enough about all of the intricate details of the course on other shows, I'm sure. But I want to just dive right into our draft. I figure I will give Evan, if you're okay with it, as the belt holder, I think we should continue to give the first pick to our guests when we're so lucky to have one. Yeah. And then you'll go next, and then I'll bring up the rear here. All right, Nagel, so you're up with the 101. Let's see what you got. No pressure.
I heard you do this last week, which I enjoy, by the way.
Thank you.
I have the first pick. I can basically do whatever I want here. Okay.
Yep.
I was really thinking about going down and grabbing Lucas Glover to screw Evan, but
no.
I didn't want to. I thought that'd be rude. I'm a guest, so I'm not gonna do that. So I'll start with I'm gonna go with Im at 9900. I'm gonna start with Sungjae. Im, not Im, but Im.
I know. We're
you guys
a controversial topic in these parts.
Just the worst. I know. Sky really really took our ass to the grinder on that one.
Well, I didn't want to get on you. I didn't know if it was like a speech thing or not, but I mean, it's Sungjae Im. Everybody knows that.
That's fine.
Except you.
Apparently.
My man. Well, I'll start with Sungjae. You like that?
Yeah. Yeah. That's fine. Good. Not too expensive. You could still do some things. I like it.
All right.
Ev, what do you got for the 102 here?
Yeah. So let's go Patrick Reed at 10-2. If we look back and it just the last tournament, tournament of champions, he played uncharacteristically bad, right, in that tournament. Because, I mean, he finished 21st, but he lost four strokes.
You have the
strokes.
Funniest way of selling your picks.
I really do, don't I? I think we should go back and make a highlight reel of, like, these really bad introductions for these guys that I want to go all
Let
in on.
Let me tell you why I picked this guy. He was uncharacteristically bad.
Well, I like to buy low. I like to buy low, and it's just a tournament player in me, you know?
Yeah.
But no, he lost four strokes on approach in that tournament, which is not like him. If we go back and see how he's performed historically, right? And in the tee to green game was also worse than he would normally play, and this seems like a bounce back spot for him. And if we're talking about tournaments, I don't think people are. I don't know where ownership is right now, but I think because maybe of such a performance, he might be a little underowned compared to where he should be at, right? So, you know, for that reason, I do want to go read.
All right. I like it. That's fine.
Yeah.
All right. So I have the wraparound here. I'm going to start with the cover boy for this week, one Mr. Scottie Scheffler. just really, really solid ball striking. I think this season in general, he's going to take a pretty big step forward. And, I think that could very easily start with a win here. So, Scheffler for sure. And then I'm going to go ahead and snag Mr. Burns as well. I don't know. I think that he's at 8,300. I just think he's pretty underpriced. And this leaves me some wiggle room where maybe I can go up again if I want, or I can dive, keep it balanced and stay in this range. So I like the flexibility of those two.
Do you think Scheffler would be the most popular guy on the slate this week?
As of now, I definitely have him as the top owned guy, but some of the reason for that was he got a lot of buzz in like betting circles for the ROM withdrawal. So I think similar to Sungjae last week, I think it looked like he was going to be like 35% owned, and then it kind of mellowed out a little bit. So I think that we could be in for a similar situation this week, but I do still think that he's going to be pretty heavily owned as far as the, you know, upper range goes.
I mean, for what it's worth, he pops out, you know, points per dollar wise in probably every projection model. Right. So he's probably going to be popular that way as well.
Yeah.
All right. My turn. Let's go Abraham Ancer. I want him. He actually played pretty well in the fall swing. Even the Masters, right, came in 13th, gave us some decent performances, and then Sony, where he missed the cut. I mean, you're buying on that situation because he putted poorly in that tournament. He lost three strokes before missing the cut. So again, I just want to buy on that because the talent's there everywhere else. And we always like to talk about on the show how putting is pretty random, right? So if people are going to sour on him because of two bad rounds of putting, then, you know, I kind of want to buy up on him just for everything else he does well.
Yeah, I like that a lot. I was considering him instead of Burns. Thought maybe he'd make it back, but sharp pick.
Not on my watch.
All right, so Nagel, you got two here. What do you got?
Sharp's a little strong. I mean, everybody in the world playing him answer. All right. I will, since you took Burns in the eights, I don't really like anybody in that range. So I'm gonna zig here. What do you guys think I'm going to zag? Or zag when you guys think I'm going to zig. I'm going to take Tony Finau at 10-5. I'm going to avoid that $8,000 range. I'm living the sevens. I'm going to take Finau at 10-5. I think he's kind of a little under the radar this week. He's going to make a lot of birdies. I know he can play any golf course. So I'm not I think I'm going to try to take advantage of a low-owned, under-the-radar Tony Finau
at 10-5. I like it. Yeah, I was just watching the Tiger doc today and saw him and was like, oh, yeah, he's in the field this week. Like, even through researching, I still was, like, kind of overlooking him, and he's one of my guys. So I like that.
Yeah, was Finau in the Tiger doc putting the ball in the water on 12 at Augusta? Is that, like,
yep,
the highlight?
One of many, yes.
Yeah, let's not do that. Let's not do that this week. all right. Oh, I go again.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. I'm in the sevens, and let's see here. I could be a donkey and take Cam Davis, but I'm not going to do that. You know who I like? And this is a little my friend Evan. I like
Maverick?
Chez Reavie a lot.
There you go.
No.
There's nice. A brand play.
I like it.
I like Chez Reavie. At 7,200. California plays well at Pebble Beach, California. It's a Pete Dye track. He won the Travelers. And I'm taking a little peek at Chez Reavie this week. So I like that.
Yeah, like he feels very underowned or underpriced rather. Like 7,200 seems like cut equity wise seems a little silly to me.
Yeah. All right.
All right, F.
Okay, I thought I surprised you with that one, but you seem to like it, so that's good. All right.
You can't surprise us with Chez. Come on, he gets talked about every week, good or bad.
I'm pretty sure. Okay. I'm pretty sure most of the time I end up being his only tags.
Oh, so many. I wish that we could like pull that somehow and see like what percentage of Chez Reavie's tags on FanShare are actually from you.
I'm glad I pull that much clout. That's the best part about that.
You really shift ownership like 0.12%.
Love it. That's all that matters. Just give me something.
Life goal.
So, for my next pick here, I'm probably going to stay in the higher eights and I'll go Cam Champ. I know he's a extremely tilting character, a lot of it because of the putting, but you know he's shown a couple times in the fall. I mean, he came in 19th at the Masters, right? He gave us a really strong performance there. You know, I could say Zozo, but you know what type of quality of competition are we really talking there? But I don't know if when he's on with the putting, he does very well because everything else is there for him, right? The approach is there, the off the tee to green game is there. Like, I think the rest of his game is very strong all around. It's just his putting has been abysmal. And again, I like to buy up on guys who are strong everywhere else except for putting. That's why I'm on Decky every week. So, to my detriment, obviously. But yeah, I mean, I like Cam Champ a lot, actually, for this week.
Yeah, I don't mind that. He's another, like, you know, walking GPP, right? Like, he definitely has upside. He has scoring upside. He will definitely pop on leaderboards every so often. So I don't hate that. I'm currently trying to do some mental gymnastics here to see if I can actually reasonably fit Cantlay in this lineup. And I'm having a hard time figuring out how to do it, but I really want to try. So I'm going to go Cantlay, and I'm just going to see what happens.
You're going to have some slop in the sixes.
So, yeah. I mean, I don't think we need to spend a ton of time talking about why Patrick Cantlay is a good choice. I think after that, I'm going to roll with Matthew Neesmith. Not, again, just sort of an upside play, not a ton of, stability and consistency there. But when he sort of clicks, I think that he can definitely compete in a field like this. I think he missed the cut last week, but, you know, we've seen him go up and down and find form pretty quickly and spike up on leaderboards. So I'm going with Neesmith, and God help me with the last two that I have to pick. All right, Ev, back to you.
Now, let's talk about the best play under $7,500 this week.
Oh, boy.
The one I feel legitimately most confident in. And that will be one Taylor Gooch. Relative to this field, and this might... I mean, what type of tournaments is... He's actually played in good tournaments. I mean, he has missed his last two cuts. He missed the cut at the RSM. He missed the Sony cut. So maybe not the hottest coming into this one, but again, I love my intros. But if we want to look at everyone's last 24 rounds played, and again, relative to this field, he's sixth in the around the green game. He's seventh in the short game, 22nd tee to green, and 16th total strokes gained. I mean, he has a sharp game, and those two missed cuts were bad putting performances, where the off the tee game was there. And yeah, I don't know.
All right.
Not much else for me to talk about with Gooch. He's just a solid play, I think.
He's a great iron player. You got that going for you.
Yeah, I don't hate it. I don't love it. I don't hate it.
Yeah.
All right. Before these next two, I gotta ask you a question, Matt Jones. You're a big course history guy.
Yeah.
Noted course
history. I noted course history guy. Now,
maybe the biggest in the industry.
I know your take on the thing, so I want to. If we're talking about Adam Hadwin, who I'm not taking, I'm just asking about it.
No, you said it. Those are the rules. Sorry.
Excuse me?
I said, no, you said his name. You got to take him now.
No,
sorry.
This question is about him.
Okay.
But I'm going off track here. I apologize, but I wanted to ask
You're fine. This is why we have you on.
So Adam Hadwin's got no form right now.
None.
Obviously, he's been great at this event. He didn't play last year. He was having a kid, whatever.
Yeah.
So in situations this is like an I told you so moment for you. If, in fact, he misses the cut. But how many times does it happen where a guy like this comes in and he plays well and you're like, because you know you don't have a leg to stand on? So what's the like percentage of I told you so to I told you I'm right about this? Like how often does that happen?
I mean, if you're approaching it from just a one-off, like we could go back and forth and do this all day, like, right? Like if it's like, oh, if Hadwin does well this week, then I have to believe in course history, then I don't know. That's not where it's coming from. It's not from it never works. It's from the people go over owned and the I've never found any signal researching really anything having to do with course history with the exception of Augusta, and a lot of that is survivorship. Like the really good people just keep getting to play Augusta, so that helps. Yeah. But I'm not nervous that like Hadwin might do well and then I have to like have a mea culpa, because like that's not how this like works from like a macro sense, like my feelings on
okay. All right, I understand that. That's what I was going for, where it's like the told you so or the mea culpa.
I mean,
that's a good way.
Like I get it all the time, right? Like anytime any of those guys do well with no form, I get the mentions, and then when it goes the other way, like nobody's like, oh yeah, that didn't work that time.
Yeah, okay, so that's what I'm asking. So you're knee deep in it. Like, does it happen more often that you're right, or does it happen more often that you're in somebody's mentions because of it?
Well, I really honestly believe that the other issue is that nobody that is quote unquote on the other side has ever clearly defined what they consider course history to be. As far as like what qualifies a guy having good course history, is it two good events? Is it five good events? Is it, you know what I mean? Like if there were some threshold that somebody gave me, I could just test it and it could just be done. And I could say, oh yeah, actually the way that you define it, there is some signal here and this is why, or vice versa. But, nobody has ever articulated like this is exactly what I consider it to be, and can you look at this? You know what I mean?
Yes. And I'm back.
Like if it's two starts, if you wanna lean on two starts over the course of a few years, then by all means go for it. You know, the thing with Hadwin is super hard to explain otherwise, right? But some of it could be random, and some of it could be that there's something there. But it doesn't mean that it's just across every golfer and just like some sort of magical, mythical guarantee that they do.
That's
well
what I want.
All the time.
I want mythical guarantees, man.
Isn't that why we're here?
That's why we're
so
here.
So I don't know. Maybe that's rambling a little bit, but I think, if somebody wants to clearly and succinctly define it for me, I will gladly test and write an article about it and gladly admit if I was wrong. Like I'm not some like psycho that like if I see something in the numbers that like I'm gonna just like lie about it. Like I've never found any reason to hang my hat on it, so I just don't. And it actually started as a joke. It started when Jimmy was on the show. I gave up course history for Lent, and I gave up talking about it for Lent, and then it just kind of carried on from there.
The sacrifices we make.
You truly are a saint.
Oh, that's very funny.
So there you go.
I like it. All right. Back to the draft. I'm gonna take right. Mav McKinley at 7,300. He makes a lot of birdies. He's in California. I like Mav McKinley a lot. And
that was two of my plays.
I'm gonna play him. Yeah.
Yeah. That's two.
Nagel just came in here and cucked the shit out of your brand, Evan.
I was gonna say he name dropped all three of my dudes.
I'm sorry, man.
I respect it. I respect the hell out of it, honestly.
Just asserting dominance right now.
And if you win our three man this week, I am going to be on ultra mega tilt.
That's how you win. You take I'll take all your players. All right. I have to go again. All right. I haven't completed my lineup yet, but I do like if I'm going to go the Pete Dye Travelers route and ball striking, and I've heard a lot this week that he had a great week last week, tee to green, and he ended up missing the cut, even though he was third in strokes gained. That's what I heard. I don't know if that's 100% accurate. I'm going to go with Keegan at 7,300. Keegan Bradley, in case you didn't know. Just going to kind of hope for the best, maybe get a cut out of him. But I don't really like him on a weekly basis. And if I know Pat Mayo was talking him up, which is never good for ownership. But I just – there's nobody – it's a lot of slop down here. And the sloppiest of slop is Keegan Bradley. So I'm going to go with him.
I like it.
Oh, thanks.
I see it. I get it. All right, Ev. Just to recap, if you are listening to this and not watching along, Nagel has five picks in. He has Sungjae, Finau, Chez, McNealy, and Keegan. Evan has Reed, Answer, Champ, and Gooch. And I have Scheffler, Burns, Cantlay, and Neesmith so far. So what do you got, Ev?
I want to hit you up with some Cam Davis. And this is probably going to bite me in the ass somehow, but...
What could possibly go wrong?
Yeah, really. What? Nothing at all, right? Last week, the tee to green and the off the tee game were phenomenal. Everything else was kind of...
You would have had a 6-6 if you picked him instead of Snedeker at the same price, and you kind of blew that.
I was laughing. I was hysterical. I couldn't believe that. Well, he's bad. He's been bad off the tee and with his irons and around the green, but his putting's been great, so I'm going to take Grant Snedeker. Other than that, it's unbelievable.
Honestly, the only point of that pick was to just tilt Matt into oblivion.
Yeah.
It did that successfully. So, I don't know. I'll stick my flag in Cam Davis. He might become number four in my number five in the Brand City because Nate Lashley. He's not playing this week, I don't think, but he is a part of the overall scope.
Wow, what a fan he is! He is in the field this week. What a fan he is!
I didn't see him. I guess he's
All right.
Yeah.
I am going to go with it's going to get really gross. So I'm going to go Doc Redman at 75, which leaves me with 6,500. So we are going to figure this out here.
I got a guy for you down there that I like.
I'm kind of between. I feel like Lahiri's a little too cute. I wish I had the extra 100 and I could just play Stricker.
I love Stricker. That's a great pick.
That would be very nice. Actually, you know what? No, screw that. I'm going Will Gordon at 6,400. Perfect. I'm in love with this lineup. I'm putting this in something. Yeah. Oh yeah, he's like a power ranking darling. He just continues to pop and continues to not really ever do anything, but miss cuts and kind of break my heart a little bit. But that's all right. I'm gonna have the first and second finishers with Scheffler and Cantlay, and then we'll just go from there. It's fine.
Okay,
that's the spirit.
All right, Evan, who do you got to round out here?
Yeah, so I have 6,700 left. And it puts you in quite a bind. I know the chalk in this area is Hank Lebioda. If I'm not mistaken. I've seen his name pop up a few times.
Chalk might be a strong word.
I don't know. I hear his information from. I have sources.
He has precisely zero tags on Fanshare at the moment.
Everyone's been talking about.
That's
how
interesting.
How much money do you have left?
I have 67. I'm leaning list, which
I mean
seems terrible, but
wait, Nagel, what do you have left?
I don't know how much money I have left. I was going to ask you to add that up for me.
This is a professional broadcast, ladies and gentlemen.
No, I can't do it. I can't figure it out. If I had a guess, I'd probably have like, I'm in the sevens. I got at least $7,000 left. But if someone could figure that out for me, that would be fantastic. You got a calculator over there?
Yeah.
Okay, 73, 72. Yeah. Ah, see, you got fives. That's an easy add. Well, it's not my turn yet, so we'll figure it out.
You have 7,800 left, so you're good. Now, I was saying we gave Evan the answer, and he clearly wasn't listening, so it's fine. Go ahead, Ev. What do you?
No, have? I'm going list.
All right.
I'm sticking to my guns.
Luke list, huh?
I mean, the clear answer there is Stricker. But that's
I like
fine.
Stricker. I like Lahiri too at 6,500. I thought maybe you could go there. Lahiri's been playing pretty well, if you look.
Yeah.
But
I had a first round leader on him last week.
Vaughn Taylor's been getting some buzz at 67. But what'd you say I had? Like 7,800?
Yep.
Oh, I'm going to leave some money on the table then. 78, huh? Do I want to go back to Griot? I should take Lucas Glover just for Evan. But he hates Pete Dye tracks. I've died on that pill many times. Charlie Hoffman getting some buzz. Oh man, I got options here. You know who I like? All right, I'm leaving a lot of money on the table. I'm gonna take Nick Taylor. At even 7,000. You know, he won at Pebble. I'm on this little California kick. He played all right in Hawaii. I think he was a 36 hole leader.
By two strokes.
I think he had a bad Sunday, but I'm going to give Nick Taylor a look at 7,000.
Yeah, I took him for a live top 10, and then.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
He finished T11 after a just brutal Sunday, so that was fun.
Oh, okay. So I was right about that. Bad Sunday.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That was unfortunate.
He missed that by a stroke, and I had a T20 on Straka, and he missed that by a stroke, which completely swung the week for me, so that was fun. All right,
good time.
What are you going to do? What are you going to do? All right, before we jump into the rest of the show and talk about our favorite bets.
Look, no one's perfect. Even the best baseball players strike out with the bases loaded. The best golfer sometimes three-putt with the tournament on the line. So if you feel like you come up short in the bedroom sometimes, it's perfectly okay. But if it's bothering you, there are options. Go to GetRoman.com/RotoViz now. With Roman, you get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A U.S.-licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication's appropriate, it ships to you free with two-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward and discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/RotoViz and complete an online visit. Take care of your ED without leaving home. Complete an online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. Go to GetRoman.com/RotoViz now to get $15 off your first month. Look, there's a straightforward way to take care of your ED. GetRoman.com/RotoViz. Get started now to save $15 on your first month of treatment.
I want to tell you guys about our sponsor tonight, which is the Action Network. I hope you're all sitting down because we have to tell you something monumental. We love sports betting, and whether you've been betting for a while or you're thinking about getting started, we want to let you know about a great resource for sports bettors, the Action Network. The Action Network is where sports fans go to bet smarter and experience financial gains. In fact, their Action Network app was recently named the best app in sports betting, and with an Action Network Pro subscription, you can unlock the very best of the app. When you sign up for an Action Network Pro subscription, you can access the Pro Report, which includes projections for every game. You can see money and bet percentages on every game so that you can see the teams that are getting the most money placed. You can take advantage of Pro Systems, which match winning historical betting trends with the latest games and lines. And you can also track every bet you make and get alerts in real time. That actually is a very, very nice feature. they even let you track a lot of props, which is a significant part of my betting strategy. So can't suggest them enough. Make sure you head over to Action Network and check out their Pro subscription, and they will get you hooked up with 50% off for a limited time. So make sure you head over there and check that out. All right, let's chat about some bets that we like. Nagel, I've seen the screenshot life. I know you hit at an incredible rate. What are your favorite outrights this week? Have you placed anything yet? What are we looking at here?
I know I haven't, and it's been incredible rate is a little strong, by the way. I've had a good run lately, I'll be honest, but I think that just because of the history of this tournament with these, you know, the Adam Longs of the world and even Landry last year, I mean, this is just an opportunity to just pepper some of the big number guys.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't love anybody. Tony Finau was one of my picks, and I mean, we want to talk about Tony Finau win equity. I wouldn't be comfortable saying that's the guy that's your as a pick to win. So I think I would just take a lot of shots in the high range and hope to get lucky. I like Ches Reavy, you know, maybe a Nick Taylor, you know, those types of guys. So I don't know if I answered your question, but
yeah, no, I like. I like
Scotty Scheffler.
Go ahead.
Everybody's betting Scotty Scheffler and Answer and Sungjae Im. It's not like a 20-30-1 guy that I love. Last week I loved what's his name? Brendan Todd. That didn't work out.
Yeah.
Probably would have been a better choice there, but
yeah, I definitely like Nick Taylor quite a bit. I think that he just seems to score well and pop in the power ranking model constantly. You can get him at like 125-1 at Bet365 right now. I think that there's a decent chunk of value there. Interestingly, you mentioned Lahiri. I mean, I don't know that that there's like a huge chance that he wins, but DraftKings has 400-1 right now, which seems
that's very stupid.
Like
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, and I mean, even you know, even if you if you're like, oh, he's not gonna win, but you want to do like you get a top 10 for 28-1 on him, like that's I feel like that's a pretty plus EV bet in the long term. I think that you could definitely make an argument that he should be closer to, I don't know, like is he really three times less likely than Tom Hoagie to finish in the top 10? I don't know. Seems like
I Lahiri makes a lot of birdies. It's birdie fest. He's been playing well. If you said, would you say 28-1 for top 10?
Yeah.
Ah, yeah. I mean, that's a bet. That's the bet I like. That what do you like? That's a bet that I would like. Even 28-1. That's almost 30-1, which is what you're getting on a guy to win that is probably not going to win.
Right, and so. It just has to be in the top 10. Doesn't even have to win. Ev, you have any win bets you're looking at? Anything interesting popping out to you?
Nothing. I don't know. I mean, if I really want to double down on this Cam Davis love, he is 90-1 out there.
Really?
On the markets. Yeah.
I thought he plummeted. I thought he was in the 60s.
He's in this like 70-ish range at a couple places, but DraftKings still has plus 9,000 on him.
Yeah.
Nice.
So I'm willing to take him there at that price. I don't know. Nothing else is really like sticking out to me.
Yeah. I put up if you guys have followed anything, I do a little bit of work with Bet the Prop, and the card that I put up, I have four top 20s that I'm playing this week at DK. I have Will Gordon, Denny McCarthy, Burns, and Sungjae are my four. All the odds are still the same, like 1,100 for Gordon, 650 for McCarthy, 300 for Burns, and 150 for Sungjae. I think getting plus money for a top 20 with Sungjae, I think, is like pretty much an auto bet. I don't know, like how even when he seems like he's not playing particularly well, he can just snap into form. Like, you know, his game is very repeatable and sustainable. So I think that he makes a lot of sense this week. Why don't I throw a couple of head-to-heads at you guys, and you can see where you fall. So we talked about Hadwin before, and Pinnacle has a head-to-head against Aaron Wise. Hadwin's plus 100, Wise is minus 120. Any strong takes there?
Like Aaron Wise much. What was the tournament? Was it Mayakoba where he lost out to? Was that he lost to Hovland, right? Where he just finished second.
Yeah.
So I mean, some people are predicting. Some people like listen to me. some people are thinking that Wise is a candidate for a bounce back year, and I would probably take Wise in that head to head with Hadwin. He's got no form. So
yeah,
Wise coming off a second. That seems like a gimme.
Yeah, I make Wise minus 137. So that's definitely a bet. There. What about? Oh wow, they're actually letting us fade Francesco Molinari this week at Pinnacle as well. Unfortunately, you have to take Eric Van Rooyen at minus 170, but. Even that might be plus EV.
You said Molinari versus EVR? Is that who you said?
Yeah. EVR is minus 170, though. I make them minus 200, so I think that it's fine. But I typically don't bet head-to-heads that are, like, juiced past, like, 125, 130.
Yeah, that seems egregious. All right.
Let's see if there's any other good ones. You get Scheffler at plus money against Finau right now at DraftKings. I think that they're...
Really?
You're Finau's probably flipping coins there. Yeah, Finau is minus 130.
Oh, that's interesting.
I think I need to send a text, actually. how about this? Oh, Nagel, we'll wrap up and then we'll do one and done after this one. What are your feelings about playing a guy off a win? We have Kevin Na against Sungjae right now on DraftKings. Na is plus 115 and Sungjae is minus 143. Just generally, what are your thoughts on playing guys after they win, and do you have a lean there?
I think it depends on who the person, who it is that won.
Yeah.
I didn't like Harris English at all last week at Sony coming off the win. This week, nah. Yeah, I mean, he might fit might fit certives, and he might be a good DraftKings play, but I always, when I'm thinking about winning, I always think about the narratives of, like, how hungry this guy might be. Like, how much does he need it? Where they're at in their career? Are they just killers to begin with that they want to win every week and go out there and step on guys' throats? A lot of these guys are pretty soft, and now they did their work, and now they can, you know, now they can take some, they can relax a little bit. So I would take Sungjae over. I love Sungjae as a bounce back candidate this week, and I expect Sungjae to wipe the floor with Kevin Na. Not to say that Na is not a good, might be a good DraftKings play, but in a head-to-head there, no, he's not going to win again. Kevin Na's a killer now? Come on. Kevin Na's going to be on the Ryder Cup team at Whistling Straits? I mean, what are we talking about here?
Well, yeah, all
that's
right.
My take on it.
There you go. I'm glad I got like a mini rant out of you. I like that. It's good. I feel like I'm watching the Periscope right now. I keep forgetting I can talk to you.
It's great to talk to you, Matt. It really is.
Yeah, for sure. This was fun. I'm glad we got the tech issues sorted out and everything. Are you in the Big Mayo one and done?
Of course.
Of course.
Absolutely.
So yes. have you made your selection, or how'd you do last week? Who'd you have?
I had Brendan Todd. I was all over Brendan Todd. Mm. You know, I was on this whole thing. My strategy this year, and I guess it's what I'm trying to do is, because there's 32 tournaments. So I want to stay within, like, the top 40 in the world rankings type of deal. And this is a pretty bottom end tournament. This is like in the from 25 to 30. I ranked all the tournaments, and the Sony and this tournament are like 28th and 29th in terms of purses and, you know, prestige that are on the slate. So I don't want to take a Patrick Cantlay this week, or I didn't want to take a top 10, or I wasn't on Berger last week. I wanted to stay in that like 25 to 40 range, and that's exactly where Na is sitting, and that's where Brendan Todd is sitting, and I took the wrong guy. Stupid. I'm mad at myself about that. But this week, if you look at the OWGR, like, Scotty Scheffler's just sitting there at 33rd in the world, and this is like the 33rd ranked tournament, and it's perfect. But I'm going to take Finau as my one and done, because I think that he's under the radar. He's just not a typical Tony Finau week, and that's usually when he will top five yeah. Tony. So I'm going to go
Finau. I like that quite a bit. I think you have the right idea in general. I understand the allure of trying to get, you know, the soup owned random guy through. But like you said, there's a limited number of tournaments, and like there's definitely times where people get way too cute and are playing people that have no business being picked at all throughout the course of the season, let alone like in the beginning of the year. Like you want to pick some guys that have at least some reasonable upside. Like Nah fit that bill last week, and it paid off really well for a lot of people. But I'm definitely going, as of right now, I'm definitely going with Scheffler. I think I put him on the cover of my article. Like I'm very much in on Scheffler this week, so I don't really feel like missing out on it. Ev, I know you're not in the Mayo's contest for personal reasons, but who would you select in your hypothetical one and done?
That's a good question. I never actually even thought about that.
Nah, it's not like we do it every week or anything.
Yeah, really.
Evan, you are unbelievable. You're just unbelievable.
I try, and that's... I would say Malnati.
Comes out of your mouth sometimes.
What?
I can't believe half the stuff that comes out of your mouth sometimes. I'm sorry to interrupt. I apologize.
No, that's... You're good. You're good. I enjoy it. No, I'd say Peter Malnati. This is why I don't talk. I don't say things.
On the podcast.
We literally are, like, discussing how you really only need to pick from, like, the top 40 or 50 official World Golf rankings, and you immediately go to, like, 172 in the world or whatever the hell Malnati is.
I mean, Peter Malnati is going to turn into a pumpkin eventually. I mean, it has to happen soon. The guys are playing lights out forever. It's Peter Malnati. It's like it's going to be over soon. So I hope that he has a great week for you, Evan. But
thank you.
I'm just waiting for the end.
Yeah, yeah. This might be his last shot in a while, because the fields are going to start strengthening again, and that's probably bad news for Malnati. So maybe this is his last stand here. Who knows? You know why? I don't know why anybody listens to me anyway. Evan's wiping the floor with me in this new draft game that I created. So,
on you, Matt. Shame on you.
Yeah, I know. It's a tough scene. I know it's brutal. All right. Well, anyway, thank you so much for making the time, Nagel. It really was fun. I'm glad we got a chance to finally get you on the show. Any parting words for the people at home?
No, Matt, again, thank you so much for having me on. I've been listening to you for a long time, going back to, you know, DFS Jimmy and everybody else, the carousel of co-hosts that you've had. But no, it's great, man. I really am thankful. I'm just, if you want, if any of your listeners who don't know who I am, just follow me on Twitter at Nagel's Bagels. I do a Periscope Wednesday night where I yell and scream a little bit more. And every Wednesday, 8 o'clock, and hope you tune in. That's it. Thanks again for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, and honestly, it's a very entertaining show, very informative. Every time I get the chance on Wednesday nights, I always make sure I at least hop in for a little bit. So thank you for doing that and creating content. I know it's a grind over the course of the year, but it's definitely a lot of fun too. So appreciate you coming on, and we will definitely have you on later in the season if you'd oblige us. And Evan, buddy, as always, it's been fun.
Always.
Make sure you guys are following Nagel at Nagel Bagels. Make sure you're following Evan at eCheney69 and myself at Matt Jones TFR. And good luck in your contest this week. See ya.